As a gas, nitrogen makes up most of our atmosphere, and in nature, nitrogen-based compounds like ammonia, nitrites, and nitrates are normally present at low levels. During the last 300 years, those levels have changed because of human activities. Today, in many coastal areas, excess nitrogen from fertilizers and wastewater is causing problems. Last week on Field Notes, Lori Sanders described how nitrate is the underlying cause of dangerously low levels of oxygen in Long Island Sound. This week, she returns to the Sound to explain some of the steps being taken to address its nitrogen problem.
Every day, more than 1 billion gallons of treated wastewater are discharged into Long Island Sound. A lot of that wastewater is rich in nitrate. During warm weather, the nitrate acts like a fertilizer, triggering explosions of algae. When those algae die, they sink to the bottom where they're decomposed by bacteria. In the process, the bacteria use up so much oxygen, there's little to none left in the bottom waters for marine life. In Long Island Sound, the link between excess nitrogen and low dissolved oxygen became apparent in 1987, when thousands of fish died over the course of one summer. When Jeanette Brown recognized how harmful nitrates were to the Sound, she went into action. Brown is the executive director of Stamford, Connecticut's wastewater treatment plant.
We started removing nitrogen in 1988 when the first information came out on nitrogen. The funny thing is I had been reading a book about the nitrogen cycle in the earth, and it was a book that normally I wouldn't have picked up, and I'm just leafing through it and I'm looking at this nitrogen cycle, and I thought, wait a minute, I can do that in my wastewater treatment plant.
Her idea, a simple flick of a switch, was a success, and upwards of 70% of the nitrogen from Stamford's wastewater treatment plant was removed. That was a real win for the Sound, but not enough to meet the stricter standards that the state required just a few years later. Last year, in order to improve the plant's nitrogen removal rates and meet the needs of Stamford's growing population, Brown's plant underwent a major overhaul. Of its $105 million price tag, nearly half was for the design and construction of the facilities needed to remove nitrogen.
I'm going to walk up to our primary clarifiers, and the primary clarifiers...
Brown says the goal of any sewage treatment plant is to clean and disinfect the incoming wastewater so well that when the water is released back into the nearest river or bay, it doesn't cause any damage to the environment. That's not easy, considering the poor quality of water that's coming into a plant. At a minimum, it contains everything that's gone down a sink, tub, or toilet.
Nature is an incredible thing because everything we're doing here is natural. We don't add anything. What happens is all of the microorganisms that are inherent in the waste coming into the treatment plant have a value to us. And what we do is we make the conditions in the treatment plant right to be able to select certain organisms that do certain jobs.
The next tank is enormous, as big as an Olympic-sized pool. Its brown waters froth and churn. 16 feet below its foamy surface are huge air pumps ejecting billions of tiny bubbles of oxygen.
In this aerobic zone, we have two general groups of organisms. One group is called heterotrophic organisms, and I like to describe to people they're sort of like us. The heterotrophic organisms use carbon as their building blocks, and they give off CO2. As a byproduct, just like we give off CO2.
The CO2 is used by a second group of microorganisms in the tank, which are responsible for converting toxic ammonia into innocuous nitrate. Now comes the final step. To see where that happens, we head over to another tank, but this one doesn't have any oxygen coming in.
As you can see, there's no air bubbles coming up in here because it's anoxic. In an anoxic environment, you have another group of heterotrophic organisms that take the nitrate and they convert it to nitrogen gas. And that's how you remove nitrogen biologically.
With this process, Stamford's treatment plant removes 99% of the nitrogen from its wastewater, and its success has earned it national and international acclaim. But recognition isn't all the plant's getting. There's also a financial incentive. In 1990, the state of Connecticut took three big steps to reducing nitrogen in Long Island Sound. It set new limits for nitrogen at each plant, it started a grants program to pay for upgrades, and it implemented a nitrogen credit trading program. The credit program works this way. If a sewage treatment plant exceeds its allowable permit amount for nitrogen, it can buy nitrogen credits from the state. Conversely, If it's under its permit level, it can sell those credits to the state.
In 2006, we made $400,000 selling nitrogen credits. That helps offset some of our operating costs. To operate the plant for nitrogen removal, probably just for the nitrogen removal, probably costs us over $1.5 million.
Connecticut's nitrogen credit program has helped speed the process because the largest communities that were generating the most nitrogen had the most to gain financially by upgrading. So far, the state has achieved about 2/3 of its nitrogen reduction goal for Long Island Sound. But will the nitrogen reduction goals be enough to keep it healthy? Almost for sure, Brown says, more will have to be done.
What I want you to see is the cleanliness of the water. Do you see how it sparkles? If I put that in a bottle of water and put a bottle of Dasani next to it, you would not tell the difference.
For Field Notes, I'm Laurie Sanders.
Funding for this segment of Field Notes was made possible by the Long Island Sound Futures Fund, ensuring the future of the sound through education, habitat restoration, and wise stewardship. For more information, visit www.longislandsoundstudy.net.